probably see anyone in the
Quaker, probably in the top.
Okay, I'm on the northbound access. It's right at the light.
If you like what you hear, go to ganglandwire.com. We need you to put a hit out on our donate button. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ganglandwire. Follow true crime storyteller Gary Jenkins on Twitter at Jenks Law. Buy the DVD Gangland Wire or download the Kansas City Mob Tour app. And now, here's Gary Jenkins.
Good evening, folks. It's nice to be back here in the deep, dark confines of the Ice House and fabulous studios of the Big Dumb Fun Show, Studio 4. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Aaron. Say hello, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
We have a special show for you tonight. I've not done a call-in show with a mob expert or a mob author, and we have that tonight. We have my good friend, Paul Scharf, calling in from Fort Worth, Texas. And Paul has a really, really interesting story. Say hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Well, it's great to have you here. You know, I was just telling Paul, my son lives down in the Fort Worth area, and not the last time I was down there. I've been down there once or twice since. Why, we got together and had lunch and got to talk about mob stuff that we both love, and I'll be going back down in June, and hopefully we can get back together in June again. But tonight we're going to talk to Paul about it's a situation that happened in his life. And he ends up writing a book about it, and the title of the book is Murder in McHenry County. It's the daggonest story. When he first told me this story, I met Paul. I was doing the mob convention out in Las Vegas, 2013, I think. It was 2013. They did a mob convention out there for 2 years in a row. Paul was going to present. You didn't present that year. You presented the next year. You did a program the next year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That year, Paul was out there and just had a booth to sell his book and talk to people and get to know people.
He's a true crime author.
He's a true crime author. Yes, he is.
That's right.
But he also had to live it, and he didn't really make that choice. Like a lot of these guys, like our good friend Frank Culotta, they lived the life, and there's several others that Nick Calabrese dude and Andrew DiNato and some of those, they lived the life. I lived the life, but Paul, it wasn't a life that he chose, but it's quite a story. Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Back on June 2nd, 1981, my father was gunned down in our tavern with one of his employees. The tavern was called the PM Pub, and it was in Lakemore, Illinois, which is about 44 miles northwest of Chicago. At the time that the murder took place, we were given an individual, a gentleman named Glenn, who was the boyfriend of the woman, Patricia Freeman, who was also gunned down with my father, possibly a jealousy or something like that. But ultimately, the case was a cold case for about 27 years.
Wow. So that's McHenry County, hence the title, the name of the book.
Correct.
So what's the name of the book?
It happened in Lakemore, which is part of McHenry County, but it was the McHenry County Sheriff that was investigating the murder, the double homicide.
Right. Now, what's the name of the book? I think I said it before, but make sure that you get that out.
Yeah, Murder in McHenry.
Murder in McHenry. And that's available on Amazon, I believe, isn't it?
That's correct.
How old were you at this point in time, Paul?
I was 10 on June 2nd, on the day of my father's wake, which was June 5th, was my 11th birthday.
Wow, that had to be crushing to your family, and especially to you. I know my father died when I was 10 of a heart attack, and it was devastating, so I understand.
It was.
You'll never forget that.
Yeah, it was definitely a life-changing event.
The sheriff at the time, he decided that, or his detectives, they decided that this was probably the jealous boyfriend of a woman who worked for your father at that tavern, correct?
That's correct.
From reading the book, your father, I mean, he may have had some people who were kind of connected, came through the tavern, but he wasn't a connected guy in any way. He was just a tavern owner. Is that not?
Yeah, that's correct as well. So, you know, if you're in the tavern business, you're going to get with a vending operator. And they're going to handle, like, your pinball machines, your jukeboxes, your cigarette machines. Because as a bar owner, you're not going to pay for those things. Plus, like, the pinball machines, the arcade machines, they need to be rotated out so they continue to get play, change over the records in the jukebox. So you're going to go to a coin vendor for that. In Chicago, typically, all the vending management companies are hooked to the Chicago outfit.
Yes, in Chicago. And it was the same way in Kansas City going that far back. All the cigarette machines, the jukeboxes, they were all from Paramount Amusement in Kansas City, and that was definitely connected to the mob here in Kansas City. And I understand it's the same way in Chicago. I think that was part of Joey Iuppa's operation, actually, was vending machines.
We dealt with Mickey Marcello, who is the half-brother to James Marcello, who is the outfit boss until the family secrets trial that put him away for life.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's right. This would have been, I'm kind of dating, this would have been as Iuppa was on his way out. He was getting ready to stand trial in the early 80s. He was under indictment and getting ready to stand trial for the straw man stings for the skin from Las Vegas. So he was on his way out then.
So he was probably a little...
Well, yeah, this was actually a few years out from that because, okay. You know, my dad's murder happened in 81. And I believe Mr. Iuppa's problems began in 86.
Actually, they had started before. They served those search warrants on him and everybody else involved with the skin from Las Vegas in 1978. And so for the next 2 to 3 years, they were building a case. He hadn't stood trial yet, but they were getting ready to have those trials down here in Kansas City at that point in time. So he would have been preoccupied from the rest of the mob business.
Well, here's the question I would have, is that your dad, like just many other bar and tavern owners in the suburbs of Chicago, being 40 some miles away, that's just regular business. They're not doing some sort of odd, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get with a vending management company.
Yeah.
So and you know, not always are these guys going to introduce themselves. Hi, we're part of the vending management company. We're an offshoot from the Chicago outfit.
Yeah, they're not going to say that, are they?
That way. Most of the people that deal with them probably don't know that they're in the office. Although I believe my father did.
Let's move on to the story.
Well, so that connection sure. is part of what the confusion is. The police, they investigate the boyfriend of the bar owner's, you know, she was a worker at the tavern, had worked there how long?
Right. She was there in the newspapers and stuff. It said that it was her first day, her first night. And that wasn't true, but she was still like brand new. She was working, I think, a couple weeks in at that point in time.
And, you know, when you work a murder like that with no apparent motive and no apparent suspect, and it's a bar owner, many times the police will look at that bar owner's connections, any kind of criminal connections, as well as love relationships. I mean, it's as I'm always kidding with my wife, if she ever gets killed, they immediately suspect me. And so that's immediately
right.
when you're looking at a no suspects, no obvious motive, no obvious person that did this, first thing you start looking at is love relationships. And if it's a bar owner in suburban Chicago area, you're probably going to look for any kind of mob connections, maybe
business
sports
relationships.
Yeah, business relationships, sports gambling or something like that.
In our instance, they did talk to my mom. For short interrogation, they really didn't think that there was anything there. But of course, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Now, after several years, you've kind of put this behind you as best anyone can. And you are now, when did you first learn about the suspect of this?
So we're at 2008, 2009.
All this time, all you know is that your father had been murdered. Nobody knows who it is. It's a cold case.
That's right.
So how did you learn who did it?
In about 2008, my former babysitter was taking her father back home from Illinois to Arkansas. Her father, his name was Jim Hager, and he was my dad's best friend. And my babysitter, whose name is Holly, was asking him, hey, who do you think killed Ron? So he mentioned this Glenn guy, and that was Patricia Freeman's ex-boyfriend or boyfriend. And then he mentioned a guy named Larry Newman. When Holly got back home, she started Googling Larry Newman. And the first thing that he came up on to was a serial killer site. And he said that he was from McHenry, and that's where we were from. So she Googled a little further, and she traced it to this book called Collada. The book Collada is about a former mobster turned government witness, Frank Collada. And on that book, on page 130, it said, who killed my father? Didn't say names. When you match up all the locations and the timing and everything else, you can tell it, that in the book they were talking about the murder of my father and Patricia Freeman.
This was Frank Collada that was telling this?
Right. So the, Collada is his autobiography. Page 130 of that book. That's where it said, who killed my father, that it was Larry Newman.
Like they basically talked about a crime that occurred and the person that committed the murder without talking about the specific bar or the person who was murdered?
That's correct. But you can, with everything else, all the other descriptors, you can tell that Frank was talking about the murder of my father.
At that point, then, you Google Larry Newman's name and... And you find a website on serial killers.
Well, that actually came up first. And at this point in time, Holly's doing all this work on her own. She goes ahead and she goes and gets the book Collada. She grabs a bunch of stuff off the internet. And she packages everything after she's reviewed it and sends it to her father. And he said, you know, and she said, I think we got the guy. I think it's Larry Newman. He went through everything. And I actually got a phone call from Jim, and we were talking on the phone. Jim's a biker, and, you know, we were kind of, you know, talking on the phone for like 15, 20 minutes. I was happy to speak to Jim, but he's not one for small talk like that, so I thought it was a little unusual. And then he just kind of broke into, hey, you know who killed your father, right? And I said, well, if it was in today's paper, Jim, I missed it. Fill me in. And he started talking about Frank Collada, the movie Casino, Tony Spilotro, Larry Newman, started throwing all these things that were all foreign to me, and I really didn't get the picture. All I knew is jot down everything he was telling me, and so I can go ahead and piece it together. I wound up going ahead and getting the book Collada, and then I started doing my own research on it, and I came to the same conclusion as everybody else did. That's when I reached out to Frank Collada's co-author, Denny Griffin. And I got through Denny through his publishing company. I called up, I spoke to a PR person. And I told him, in this book that you guys got published, you've got an unsolved double homicide. And I would like to go ahead and speak to the co-author about this if I can. And so they forwarded my email on to Denny, and that's when Denny and I got into contact.
Interesting. I think, if I remember right, Frank Collada was in the Witness Protection Program and still kind of, he's out of it now, but he was deep into it back then. You probably would have had a hard time getting hold of him. Thank goodness that he did that book with Denny Griffin, because he would be easy to get hold of.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's why I went ahead and I approached Denny, because I thought I would have a much harder time trying to find, you know, Mr. Collada. We're emailing back and forth, and I described all the information that they didn't put in the book. I filled that in, see if it lined up to everything else, and then, of course, it did. And so me and Denny agreed that we would probably talk a week later. We would get on the phone, because at this point we haven't spoken on the phone. The very next day, I received an email from Denny stating that I talked to Frank Collada about this, and I also talked to a gentleman named Dennis Arnoldy, who is a former FBI agent, Frank Collada's debriefer when he turned government witness. And I asked them, well, why didn't you turn this information into McHenry County Sheriff's Office back in 1982 when Frank Collada turned? And they both responded the same way. We did. Then I knew we had a problem.
Yeah, McHenry County had not done anything with that information.
That's correct. What we started putting together was that Frank Collada just turned government witness. he had a lot of information on the Chicago outfit. Chicago outfit reached out to the sheriff's office and told them, do not solve this murder, because it would be solved based on the information that Frank Collada provided, and that would give Frank Collada credibility. And then he would be going into all these other cases with a double homicide solved. So that's what we believe happened, that the McHenry County Sheriff's Office was connected to the Chicago outfit, and the Chicago outfit told them not to solve my father's murder.
Interesting. Now, why don't we step back a minute, and you mentioned that Tony Spilotro and Casino and all those things.
Right.
How did that figure in? The movie was out by that point in time. Had you seen it even, or were you kind of interested in mob stuff back then, or?
I'm sure. I'm a Chicago guy, so Casino is a big time movie for people from Chicago, and I think New York and Las Vegas, places where the mob has been strong. And so, yeah, I mean, I was always a big fan of that movie, but I had no idea that it related to my life. And the way that it related was in that movie, Joe Pesci, he played a guy named Nicky Santoro. But that was actually based on real Chicago outfit Las Vegas boss, Tony Spilotro, who is an enforcer for the Chicago outfit and was looking over the scam operation. And the scam operation was skimming the top of all the casino money and sending it to the families across the country. Frank Collada worked for Tony Spilotro. And it was actually Frank Collada who was the technical advisor to Martin Scorsese for that movie. And he actually at the end of the movie, he shows up as the hitman. So at the end of the movie, all these guys gotta go, and it's Frank Collada doing all the hits, the real Frank Collada doing all the hits.
The guy who now is out of the witness protection program because he's got a book and he's got a
mob tour.
He did
mob tours. You want to go to Las Vegas and take a mob tour, go to Las Vegas and check on the internet for Frank Collada and mob tour. You'll find him.
Do they have a bulletproof three-piece suit in the gift shop?
He's all right. Nobody's made any attempts on his life. I think, quite frankly, I worry more about Frank Calabrese Jr. than I worry about Frank Collada. But, you know, nowadays, the Chicago outfit doesn't have the capital that it once did to go ahead and commit murder. And killing Frank Collada, that's not gonna be good for business. That don't help anybody.
He's almost got too well known for him to do anything. It would draw a lot of heat. If Frank Collada were killed, they would look at, or disappeared, they would look at that as a mob murder and investigate it as such, and investigate
that's
it
right.
Pretty strong. You know, you mentioned Dennis Arnoldi as the guy to get hold of. And, you know, when I started to make Gangland Wire, I talked to Denny Griffin. He's such a great and generous guy with everybody that's ever asking for any kind of help. But he steered me to some people, and one of them was Frank Collada. But he said, you'll have, at this point in time, you'll have to call Dennis Arnoldi, who is by now a retired FBI agent. So I called Dennis and I tell him what I'm doing and give him my bona fides and, you know, who I was and who he could use to check on me to make sure I was who I said I was, a retired Kansas City policeman who worked with the mob and worked with FBI agents. And he did that. And then he got back to me and he said, okay, he said, I will give your phone number to Frank and he'll call you. So he was kind of acting as Frank's go-between, because Frank and Dennis and they have appeared with Henry Hill in several different mob things out there in the Las Vegas area. It's kind of an interesting turn of events.
Movies and
they have Mob Month at Clark County Library
and then sort of kind of bring it back around to you, Paul, is that's where the two of you, Gary Jenkins and Paul Sharp, met.
Right. That's how we met.
Was it during
Mob Month? Was that in January?
No.
January's Mob Month. I think it was later in the year. It seems like it was warmer than that. But
September.
September. Okay. Well, I knew it was warmer. I'd forgotten. They don't have that thing anymore.
Well, you can find my book, Murder McHenry, on Amazon.com, both in soft cover and digital format. You can also go to my website, McHenryCounty1981.com, and that's McHenry, McHenryCounty1981.com. And I have tons of information about my father's case, the Chicago outfit, radio shows, pictures, old newspaper articles. Any mob enthusiast can spend hours on my website.
You also have a little bit about, a little teaser for the next segment is Paul helped defeat the incumbent sheriff who hadn't done anything about this and helped the new sheriff get elected. So I think you have a little bit about that on your website too, don't you?
You got it. You got it.
And do you have any dates coming up where people might be able to meet you? Are you doing any book signings or autograph sessions, you know?
Nope, not as of right now.
Okay, but they can check back on your website and they'll find stuff like that.
And there's a way to contact through the website, isn't there?
Oh, I took that page down, man. I was getting spam.
Okay, I understand. I feel your pain, brother. I feel your pain.
So I had to take it down. I'd like to get it back up.
I tell you what, if you want to contact Paul about anything, contact me through mine, and I'll put you in touch with Paul real quickly. Okay, how about that?
Absolutely.
info@ganglandwire.com.
And remember, when you're going out to ganglandwire.com and downloading the podcast, while you're listening to this one, you want to come out and see Gary and myself live. That's right. We take a podcast and we take it to venues like the Uptown Arts Bar. But this year, we're starting out at Stanford's Comedy Club on Thursday, March 31st. At 7 o'clock, Gary and I will be in the room. Now, the question is, will you be with Gary, myself, and the King of Sting, Craig Glazier?
Craig Glazier is one of the more interesting people I have ever met in my life, and he lives here in Kansas City. Craig Glazier, he was the Robin Hood of drug ripoff artists in the late 70s and early 80s until he got stung himself.
And then spent 5 years in jail.
It'll be the cops and the robbers that night.
That's right. We always wanted to talk to criminals. Most criminals don't want to talk to us. But Craig Glazier's got a great story, and he loves to tell it. He is a personality, ladies and gentlemen, and a criminal at heart.
Okay, let's wind this on down. If you have a friend, a relative, brother, sister, child, parent who has a problem with drugs or alcohol, make your first call to First Call. 816-361-5900. And if you're from outside the Kansas City area, which most of these listeners are, if you want to know more about those kinds of resources, go to www.firstcallkc.org. All right, Aaron, good night.
Good night, Gary.
Good night, Paul. We'll talk to you in the next segment.
All right.
Music provided by Automatic. Check them out at automaticmusic.com.